Well, greetings to all of you. We're having our first cold night. It's like winter has arrived. I'm going to start this message off by asking a question. The message is, do we have a prophet? Do we have a prophet? The question can be looked at yes and no. You can say, how can you be yes and no? And I'm going to try to explain what I mean by how it can be yes and no. Yes, we still have prophets in that we can read the prophets that were written and preserved, you know, many, many centuries ago, and we'll find their words applicable, their admonitions, the things we ought to be admonished. They're still valuable. But no, in this sense, several times in my years in the ministry, someone has come to me and said, I'm a prophet. And at least two of the cases, I think all the cases, but at least two for sure, they were proven to have they've been mentally afflicted. They had problems, delusions and mentally afflicted. And obviously they say if you go to the mental hospital, you can meet Napoleon and all kinds of famous people you'll meet in there. But there are other people who I'll call it somewhat delusional. They somehow got in their mind that God is sending them direct messages. It's probably what they ate the night before. But, you know, God sent me this message, and he's telling me that you all need to send me money so we can build, and he'll bless you. Yeah, whatever they say. But a real prophet, by the way, real prophets don't get their messages by reading tea leaves or reading the veins in your palms of your hands. I know there are people that say those things. Or magic charts or star charts or graphs, astrology. No, a real prophet actually gets a message directly from God. And when God speaks to you, you know it. So I believe we don't have one now. Now, God may be grooming somebody that we don't see off in the horizon. But when we need one, we'll get one. But before you're so eager to get one, remember this. I remember an ambassador to college. I heard this a number of times. God never sends a prophet with good news. There may be an exception to that in the Bible, but I can't think of it. Now, maybe in the course of the prophet's life, God will say something good about the prophet to him. But generally, you know, if you're the king and you see Elijah the prophet coming to you, they almost knew, you're giving me bad news. And of course, he was. He was saying, God has found you lacking and sinful, idolatrous, and you're going to, well, bad things are going to happen to you. Now, that normally is what you see throughout the Bible. Prophets rarely give good news. And by the way, real prophets talk to the people, but they also talk to the rulers, the shakers and the makers. You know, God told Jeremiah that you're going to, and the same with some of the more famous prophets, like Elijah, that you're going to send messages to topple kings and put kings in power. They're going to talk to the important people and give them, you know, earth-shaking messages. So it's not some guy in an alley in a bad neighborhood with a little sign saying, flee the wrath to come, who's half drunk and half crazy. God's prophets are men of substance, and they will soon be taken seriously, even if at first they're not. You know, Elijah said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. They laughed. But after a while, they stop laughing. We got to find him and talk him out of it. We can get some rain again. By the way, America is the Lost Ten Tribes, or at least the birthright part of the Lost Ten Tribes. I got this out of a magazine, but I'm sure it's accurate. 1776, when America became independent, and there in the years thereabout, there were 98.4, almost 98. And 0.5% Protestant Bible believers. I mean, I'm not saying they were good, but they would believe in the Bible, And that includes the Old Testament quite a bit. And about a little less than 1% Jewish. That was America, a very Bible-oriented country. So any message that's sent to Israel does apply to America. And I think most of the people in this audience would believe that. The world might not, but we would. So let's go to Jeremiah 29. When I say we do have a prophet, these messages that are sent to Jeremiah apply. He was speaking to at least some of Israel at the time. They apply to us as well in a general sense. Jeremiah, and so we do still have the prophets in writing. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 and 8. And this one is kind of surprising. Let me give you a little bit of the background. As these people were, at least the first wave, was going into captivity to Nebuchadnezzar, to the Chaldeans, to Babylon, Jeremiah says, look, the false prophets tell you you're all going to come back and it's all going to be happy in no time. It's not going to happen. You're going to be there for a while. So pray for the prosperity of Babylon and the cities that you're in, because if they are peaceful and prosperous, you'll be better off. And we read Jeremiah 29, 7 and 8. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Eternal for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. In other words, the false prophet said, I had a dream. All is going to be well. We're going to, captivity will end. We'll be back home and we'll defeat the Babylonians. It'll all work out. And he says, no. And I want to just add something, a little twist on that. I think we should pray for our government in Washington. And I know the congressmen that can't agree and the courts and the administration. We should pray for the governor of our states. We should pray for the mayors of our city council, because, and maybe other bodies that are related, if our government makes wise decisions, it will be a blessing to us. Now, some of this is my opinion, but, you know, that's naturally goes with when you're speaking. For instance, if they make, and it appears that it's a real middle-class tax cut, and a pro-business tax cut, because America has the highest corporate taxes in the world, which is a recipe for losing businesses and losing jobs. I mean, then take a genius with all these international corporations. Well, where do you want to build this new plant? Somewhere where they're going to take almost half your money when you put local taxes on top of it. And state, take half your profits to go to the black hole in Washington or to Ireland, and a whole bunch of places are setting up places where you can get a third of the taxes we pay. It's a no-brainer. So if they do this tax cut reasonably well, no tax cuts are perfect, and they can simplify 70,000 pages of tax laws, it will be good for America, good for jobs, good for the economy, and actually be good for God's work. Because if the people who support God's work have more money, I would even argue that if there are more jobs, employers will have to treat Sabbath keepers a little nicer. Think about it. Because they'll, after a while, well, if you're a reasonably good person, we don't want to lose you. Where now the bosses can say, hey, you got to work any day I tell you to work. There's seven people waiting to take your place, Turkey. You better get on it. But if it goes the other way, where, you know, that's, so I say pray for the peace and prosperity of America. It will be to our benefit, to the church's benefit, my opinion. Just like the case that Jeremiah was making. verse 9 and 10. Now he's speaking of the false prophets. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. Now they were saying they were with the God of Israel. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I'll visit you, perform my good work toward you, and cause you to return to this place. And that's a famous quote that you hear about a lot. In 70 years, they got to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, fortify the city, and so it was a temporary thing. But, you know, if you were a man aged 20 or 30, 70 years, I'll be dead by then. And that's why Jeremiah was saying, make the best of where you are. And I could apply that to us. there are a lot of people on the internet, at least some, that say the end's going to come next year because 2018 is not that far away. Horrible things are going to happen in 2018. By the way, I agree. Horrible things are going to happen in 2018. There are plenty of evil people out there, bad actors on the world, terrorists, and who knows? We could have a Wall Street bubble burst, because Wall Street's in a bubble. I mean, a bubble that could burst. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying all that is possible. But Christ is not going to come back in 2018, and you're going to say, how can you be so sure? There are just too many prophecies that have to be fulfilled. I don't see how they could be fulfilled in a year. Now, maybe it could be, but I doubt it. But there are false prophets out to get you all excited. And, of course, send them money and follow them and do what they say. It's just not likely. So don't let anybody panic you. Also, the people in our media who play part of the role of false prophets, they're pushing ungodly things, and they're bad for society. And many of the people who claim to be prophets, you'll see them on the internet, because anybody can get on the internet, get a computer, and then there's a man who used to meet with us, he now claims, don't mention his name, blah, 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 the prophet of God. He has an internet site, at least a couple of years ago it said that. I haven't actually looked for him lately. He won't tell him where he is now. He could be in a hospital. But at any rate, but that may not be true. But whatever the case is, out of their imagination, they make themselves a prophet. And the people in the media push unbiblical things all the time. We were told today, or yesterday, that Disney Corporation is coming out with a brand new show for, really it's for kids, they don't admit that, it's for kids, it's a kid kind of thing, where they're going to push anti-family, a gay couple, really harder than they ever done, but they're going to do it in a way to make it very entertaining, suck everybody into it. Not that we're against gay people, you all know that. It's a question that we're not against people, we're just against sin. And we don't decide what is sin, this book decides what is sin. I mean, everybody knows that, but just to say it. But our false prophets in the media, and a lot of them, what I call liberal Christianity, are going to be pushing all kinds of sinful behavior on the country. I mean, why do you think marriage rates and successful marriage rate is so low in this country? It's because of the things that are being pushed. Jeremiah, and I guess you call it the sexual revolution, as they call it. Jeremiah 27:16. I'll start in verse 15. For I have not, this is God speaking, for I have not sent them, says the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that you might perish, you, the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, this is Isaiah, Jeremiah, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for the prophecy is a lie unto you. In other words, all those gold and brass, really valuable things that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple back to his place in Babylon, the false prophets were saying, don't worry about it, you'll get it all back. Part of the problem with what the false prophets were saying, opposite of what Jeremiah was saying, they were saying the lifestyle that you have now, which mixed in a lot of bad behavior, sins, and idolatry, even including sacrificing their children in the Valley of Hinnom, when you read the whole book, and all kinds of other pagan things and sun worship with their back to God's temple, worshiping the sun rising in the east. And all that's in the book of Jeremiah and other books, and worshiping wooden idols and things and trees, and kind of a sexual weird things going on in the temple grounds. They were saying it's okay. God's going to bless you. We're going to have victory no matter what. And Jeremiah is saying there's a price to be paid for sin. And in this case, it was going to be loss of your freedom and going into captivity because they couldn't govern themselves correctly. The government was totally corrupt. Murderers are going free and the wrong people were being persecuted. And I believe there's a principle here. There's a price to be paid for sin. Any prophets that say, we can live any way we want to and God will bless us, that's a false prophet. That's the message that Jeremiah was fighting. 26, verse 3 and 4. Jeremiah 26, 3 and 4. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent of the evil or change my mind, which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their deeds. And verse 4. And you shall say unto them, thus says the Lord, if you will hearken to me to walk in my laws, and we all know the Ten Commandments are the core, but you have other laws too, to walk in my laws, which I've set before you. And then he goes on to say that if they were to do what God said, the, you know, the prophecies of Jeremiah said that you're going into captivity, a lot of people are going to die in war, it's going to be bad for Israel if you don't do the right thing. He said God could change his mind if you repent and turn and go the other direction. That's the basic message of prophets. Each of us individually should try to repent, turn, and go in the right direction, and you get blessed. And any prophet who tells you, oh, America's going in the right direction, we should continue all these alternate lifestyles, and just policies that, and even tax codes, by the way, the tax code also, there's a tax penalty for being married. There are both senior couples and younger couples, I'm told, depending on money issues, they say, well, if we get married, we're going to pay so much more of our check to taxes. Now, you think about the idiotic logic of making marriage a penalty for taxes. Because what you tax, you get, you know, it's a way to get people to do certain things. You know, that's what they say. We give them a tax penalty for buying a home to get more homeownership. I mean, you get a tax break. Well, that's working against marriage. There are all kinds of policies and laws and the way that judges interpret things that are working against family. All those policies are bad for America. And any prophet that doesn't tell you that isn't really telling you the truth. So the message of these men, even though, like Moses, he's been dead for, 34 centuries? Something like that, the exact number. You know, something like 34, whatever the exact, I may have gotten that wrong, but something like that, 34 centuries, it's still valuable because God doesn't change. Mankind is built a certain way and we don't change, so the messages are there. Most of God's messages is stop sinning before it's too late. I mean, I'm summarizing it, but that's pretty much what you get out of most of the prophets. Stop sinning, stop idolatry. One of the places Jeremiah was talking about all the merchants outside the city gate in the morning rushing in on the Sabbath. You know, they open up their bazaars. That's what they had. They didn't have Walmarts, but bazaars. Can you imagine Jerusalem full of bazaars, all that noise and all that selling on the Sabbath? Well, that was one of the sins that, and the false prophets said, don't worry about it. We're going to have peace and blessings. They didn't tell them, well, these people are making money. We don't want to mess with them making money. It's less money for us. I assume that's how they reasoned it. I'll give the Jews credit for one thing. When they came back from captivity, they did learn those lessons of no idolatry and no Sabbath breaking. And they learned that well. And so it was, in a contextual sense, it was good for them. Also, some of the teachers in the church who passed away, their material that's recorded on tapes and CDs and on computer material is still useful to us. I was thinking about that. Both Garner Ted Armstrong and HWA, material that they recorded maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago is still useful. Same with Ron Dart. I was listening to some material on the Sabbath. The person who made the message is dead, but those teachings are still useful and good, I mean, and helpful. So use the things that are there. Now, when we need a prophet, when God decides he needs some more specific messages for specific audiences, when we need a prophet, God will send us one. But remember, prophets apparently, I can't think of an exception, always bring bad news. Someday, a prophet, now I speculate that one will originate outside the church, one in the church. They'll both join the church, of course, but one will be famous for his outside the church activities. So that way they'll get more attention, like the Apostle Paul and others. When these prophets go to American leadership in the country, they're going to say something like, "We better change or else America is going to fall." And I know people say, "Oh, you people have been saying crazy stuff like that for years." But they are coming. Now, I want to tell this stupid joke. It kind of makes a point I want to make. And then I'll talk about the two witnesses. It is a stupid joke, but I'll make it. This elderly guy, he's mad. And so he's telling his kids, he says, "When I get older, I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He's telling this to his kids. "I'm going to move in with my kids. I'm going to hog the computer. I'm going to pay no bills. I'm going to eat all the food all the time. I'm going to trash the house. When I'm asked to clean up, I'll pitch a fit like it's killing me to help out. I'll teach my kids a lesson." Because that's how they're treating him. By the way, about a third of the kids, 34, 35 and under, are still living with their parents. That's never, to my knowledge, that's never happened before in America. You can see the younger generation is getting weaker. One term you've used for them are cupcakes. I believe that's a direct penalty because of the lifestyle and the direction America's been going. I'm going to read a few verses of it, but if you read a lot of these areas, you'll see that God, I'll go to Deuteronomy 8, God is saying things like this: "If you don't obey me, if you forget me, I'll only punish you, but I'll forget your children." And I think that's, at least it's, and some of it has to do with the media and public school. We were saying on the podcast last night, one of the things that the far left did in countries like Russia and Germany and others, they had the children spy on their parents. They did it in Vietnam, too, when the communists took over. And actually, they built a statue during the Stalinist days of this one child who turned in his parents and his uncle. And they made him a real hero in Russia because they didn't support the party line. You realize that that kind of thing, this cupcake generation might be just a generation that would turn in their parents to some jackboot future dictator. I mean, just a thought. Anyway, Deuteronomy 8:1. You think that's about the worst thing I can think of a kid could do. Deuteronomy 8:1. "All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swears unto your fathers. And you shall remember." I'll emphasize the word "remember" because it's mentioned a lot in this and the next few chapters in Deuteronomy. "Remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, and to prove you, and to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And just think about that. In other words, he doesn't want you to forget. And we think the cupcake generation is now more vulnerable because of the way society is going. Verse 17. "And you say in your heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Eternal your God," verse 18, "for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, the he that has established his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is to this day." I believe that America's unprecedented quick success and relative to the rest of the world prosperity is because of the blessings of God, not because we're so great. And God says, when you start forgetting that, God's going to forget you and forget your children. I was just listening to them talk about Andrew Jackson's victory in New Orleans. And he said back in, you know, it's the War of 1812, he was just saying the kings in England and other places in the world, they looked at American democracy and thought, wow, America's growing so fast. so powerful, and they didn't like that kind of democracy. They like, you know, monarchies. So the Battle of New Orleans actually, although we had already won a kind of a stalemate at war with Britain because they won some other victories like the Battle of Baltimore, but it was still valuable because as the British saw it, New Orleans was the key to the Mississippi River, which is also the Ohio and Missouri River complex, and the gateway to the West. If Britain could control New Orleans, they could control the Mississippi, they could block America's future expansion, maybe push them back a little bit. And Andrew Jackson beat the soldiers that beat Napoleon. And the British had them outnumbered, I think it was 4-5-1, and an armada of battleships. And I think America was blessed. That's a victory they shouldn't have won. I'm not taking anything away from Andrew Jackson. He used pirates, freed slaves, Indians, and mostly pioneer men who hadn't been in the regular army but 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, they weren't like, you know, a Napoleonic army. They've been around for years and years. And these, if you want to call them backwoodsmen, frontiersmen, defeated the army that defeated Napoleon. Can't you see that it's God who gave America its wealth and its blessing and its opening to expand to the West and be the world superpower it is? And even back then, it was obvious that, wow, those little colonies in a few years swept all the way to the Mississippi River and then would soon go far, all the way to the Pacific. Don't think that our blessings are because this nation is so good. That's really what Moses is saying. You better remember God. If you forget God, you can lose those blessings. That's what a real prophet tells you. False prophets don't tell you that. And the media are false prophets. For instance, the media has us believing, I call it the big lie, that Christian, Bible-thumping conservatives are really fascist and the progressive liberals are the good guys. Now, you realize how stupid that sounds, but I'm going to go through a bunch of issues and show you how that's not true. But most people have been convinced because the media has been saying it for many years. And by the way, you're going to say, but isn't nationalism a fascist thing? Yes, but you know, when Hitler called the National Socialist Party, it was socialistic. When he meant nationalist, he meant Germany building an empire by invading its neighbors. When Mussolini, who started the fascist party, when he was for nationalism, and Mussolini put in violence and socialism all in there with his black shirts, and Mussolini came up with, he was the first to come up with the black shirts to murder, beat up, and intimidate his political opponents. Can you imagine if you were a political opponent of Mussolini and you thought, well, I want to go to the opponent's rally? They call them Fascio. They wore black shirts, and they carried all kinds of weapons, and they were mean thugs, stormtroopers from World War I, and they would beat the crap out of the opposition and their supporters. And I think once he got to power, one of the leading rivals, the Fascio murdered. And maybe it got bad publicity for Mussolini, but the message was sent. You get out of the way of... By the way, which group has people dressed in black terrorizing and intimidating their political rivals? Okay, let me go through this list of core beliefs of conservatives versus liberals, socialists, and fascists. And you'll see that actually they've got it turned backwards. It's the far left that are fascists. By the way, fascists were socialists. Nazis were socialists. It's the National Socialist Party. But they did have that empire thing. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with America taking care of America. Nationalism that's taking care of the nation, that's very logical. As long as you're not doing it at the expense like, you know, we're going to invade Canada, Mexico, and conquer the world. By the way, if America wanted to do that, at the end of World War II, we had the biggest navy in the world by far, and the biggest air force by far, and the only one with atomic weapons. Now, if some bad guy like, well, you can think of a whole bunch of dictators. If they had that, what do you think they would have done with it? It would have been, but America was benevolent. So, you know, being patriotic is not the same kind of nationalism that Mussolini and Hitler meant. Anyway, core beliefs. Conservatives, high belief in individual rights. liberals, socialists, and fascists. High belief in statism. The state is more important than the individual. And Mussolini said that. People are there to serve the state. The state's not there to serve the people. And he said with his chin jutted out, and I am the state, or the leader. Hitler said the same thing. You know, ich bin ein Deutschland, and Hitler is Deutschland. Anyway, but I am, you know, the leader is the government, and the government's more important than the individual. Free speech prize, conservatives. Liberals, big government controls not only speech, but thought as well. PC speech only is allowed. And I was told by one of the pod members, there was a guy who was some conservative message, nothing all that weird, was speaking in Orlando, Florida, which is a very, 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 very leftist group. And the government was complaining they had to spend thousands of dollars to have the police protect that guy from the Intifada. That's the new black-shirted guys who are doing what Mussolini's Fascio did. They beat up and terrorize the opposition. And the police barely got that guy to speak and get out of there alive. And you would think, well, he has a right to free speech. They don't have to come listen, and they can have counter speakers come up later and contradict him. But that's not good enough. They want, you know, you say something we don't like, we're going to bust you in the head and make it so painful nobody's going to ever want to let you come back again. Conservatives believe in freedom of religion. Not freedom from religion. That's what the liberals push, but freedom of religion. Liberals push, they prefer the core belief in adoration of the leader. El Duce, that's what they call Mussolini, means the boss. Above any nominal religion. You can have religion, just don't take it too seriously. Worship the state and the leader. And that's going to come in some final Roman Empire that's going to come back in the end time. They're literally going to worship a man. And we're going to live, if we live long enough, we're going to live to see it. Small conservatives believe in small government. Liberals, socialists, and fascists believe in large central government controlling a lot, if not everything. Conservatives believe in freedom of the press. Liberals believe in only the press that supports the socialist ideas and the leader. One-sided press. Conservatives believe in the right to bear arms. Liberals, by the way, Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and Mao, they all disarmed the public. Took all their, by the way, the guy in Venezuela did that too. And it actually is coming to be a factor in Venezuela. All the good people were disarmed. Now that the people are starving and there are riots in grocery stores for food, the only people with guns besides the police are the, I call them their Fascio. You know, they have pro-communist government mobs. They're the only ones armed. They give them arms. The regular public is unarmed, so they got the advantage. But it's a real mess down there, an absolute mess. Conservatives believe in local control of education. Liberals and socialists believe in total education to totally indoctrinate the young kids with the party line. Lower taxes, conservatives. Higher taxes support big government. Conservatives, pure capitalism, or as pure as you can expect. Socialists want to nationalize companies and put the government in control of them. They did that, by the way, in Venezuela. Absolute disaster. By the way, what makes you think a government can run an oil company better than the people in the oil business? Think about that for a minute. As a matter of fact, I read this article about 5 years ago, and the guy said, Britain now has a hollow navy. That's a navy without any aircraft carriers. So you really couldn't do an amphibious operation. I mean, an offensive naval operation if they wanted to. They could, not even a good defensive one. And he said it was their socialist programs that ate the budget. In other words, health care in Britain kept taking a bigger, bigger, bigger chunk of the budget. And the way the guy wrote the article, he was being sarcastic, but I got his point. Health care ate the British Navy. Now, what the British government says now is if they ever have a crisis like they had in Margaret Thatcher's office, they will get an aircraft carrier from America. The only problem with that is, let's say if the liberals in the White House in America, I guarantee you, depending on what Britain wants to do, They're not going to give Britain an aircraft carrier. Britain used to be Great Britain, mighty on the sea. It's now just Britain. The great is gone. And socialism, at least, is part of it. And a lot of bad news people are migrating to Britain. That's one reason they got out of the EU. They're migrating to Britain to get in on their, I guess, their welfare programs, which are more generous than a lot of other countries. It's like a magnet for all the bums from all over Europe and the Middle East to go to. And that's one of the reasons for Brexit. And believe me, I understand why the British did it. I understand it. One more issue. Conservatives believe in private health care run primarily between the doctors and the patients. I realize health care is more complex, but liberals believe in total government-run health care, where they own your, when you get sick, they own your body. I mean, the government medical system does. Let's go to Hosea 4. As we get close to the end of this message, I want to talk a little bit about knowledge, which is missing. A lot of knowledge is missing among younger people in today's world. We're going to go to Hosea 4. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6. Hosea 4, verse 5. Therefore shall you fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with you in the night, and destroy, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed. Now notice, why was this threat, which did come true, by the way, they did go into captivity. Why was this threat given to Israel? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I think it means, you know, basic common sense and biblical knowledge. The false prophets were telling them, oh, all this stuff you want to do is wonderful. Like, it got a lot of child-rearing principles now based on worldly psychology, which at least many of their principles are ungodly. Why do you think we have so many kids committing suicide and drug overdoses? The stuff that society is teaching is not working. The knowledge is bad. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the fact that Bibles are verboten in education, there's something scary about that. Isn't that scary? That a Bible is, you know, if the janitor sees a Bible in an educator's office, it's something to get rid of. Like, I mean, that is, you know, talk about lack of knowledge. Are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you, and you shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. So why are the children in such bad shape, the younger generation? And I know there's some great kids out there too, but the majority are not going that way, because we have rejected God's knowledge. And it's starting to have its effect. And its greatest effect is on the younger people who've grown up, you know, listening to the media and all these liberal educators. And by the way, church attendance, according to this one magazine I got in the mail recently, in America is under 20% regular church attendance. Wow. 20 years ago it was like 20, so now it's under 20. And in Britain, it's under 10. And I think in other parts of Europe, it's pretty low, even lower than that. So people aren't getting anything. Not even, you know, even uninspired Bible knowledge is still Bible knowledge. They're not even getting that. They're getting very little of anything. And Daniel 12:4 says, maybe I'll just turn to that real quickly and read it. Daniel 12:4. Because people says, well, you still think you're in the end time. Verse 4, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, here are two things that will let us know we're in the getting close to the end time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Let's look at knowledge shall be increased. Now, with the Internet doing what it's doing, you can almost, depending on the program you have, with most of your cell phones, you can type in a name, boom, and you can get all kinds of information almost instantaneous, or on your computer. And I guess if you hook it up to your TV set If you know how to do that, you can get it on your TV or your home computer. And any research that comes out, they get to put it on the internet and see what others did. By the way, the internet was originally invented. I took a math class in the 1960s in a big college, and the computer was about almost as big as this room. You had to use punch cards, and you get your result the next day. Well, the instructor said, well, this computer is linked to some other college computers and to research labs of the Defense Department, and we call that the internet. But we share this digital knowledge. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We had no idea how that little thing of college science and math labs and defense, you know, weapons labs would grow to be. Knowledge is just pumping out because computers link together, you know, the knowledge can go faster and faster and faster. And you almost don't even need a library. I'm not putting libraries down, but you get on your computer. It used to be easier. Now they put a few filters in there to try to sell you stuff, and you know, that's another issue. But apart from that, you put a few things in there, and you can get tons of websites telling you about almost anything you want. And you can even contribute information, you know, if you want to know how to do it. It's and of course, travel. You know, you could get in your car today, and if you have the stamina, get on I-70, and you could be on the East Coast. What, in 10 hours? That would have been unheard of. And if you go to the airport up there in near Carbondale, fly to Chicago, get on another airplane, you could be in Norway, Sweden, Russia, Vienna. Maybe within a day and a half, you could be in South Africa. You could be in, you know, you could go anywhere in the world in a fairly short period of time, where it took the pioneers months, you know, those covered wagons and old trains. And it may get even faster. I mean, you know, they may come up with self-driving cars. I don't know if I like this idea, but it's the thought. You get in your car, you get on the highway, and you lock it into, like airplanes have it. They call it autopilot. You just lock a little, and I did it myself, and, you know, you have to stay awake, so if the control tower tells you to change something, you can. But you lock in. But, of course, airplanes are different. You got all that extra space. But they say they're going to have it for cars. You can get in your car, set it on autopilot, get on the big highway, and just go to sleep in your car and wake up in L.A. the next morning. I mean, that's what they're saying. The computer with Zeiss is going to get that good. I don't know if I – we'll see if I would trust that. But anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, but by the way, this new knowledge and new power will be misused. That's why we know we're in the end time. It's just a question of when God pulls the trigger. And someday two prophets will come with a more tailored message. And we're going to know that God's intervention is near, and the beast and the false prophet's appearance is near too. And hopefully we'll be wise, we'll recognize the true prophets. Some are probably thinking, well, we know a true prophet from all the false ones. I believe the moment we hear these guys tell about the message they got from God and the way they say it, I think the spirit in us will recognize the spirit in them, and we will know that they are real prophets, not all these phonies or people that dream stuff. You know, they ate the wrong kind of sea fish and had a nightmare last night. God spoke to me. No, it's indigestion. We'll know. And they will know, too. Just from reading the other prophets in the Bible, when God speaks to a man, he knows it. It's not like just a little dream where I was thinking God had a, you know, God was trying to push me this way or that way. But when you get a real direct message, you know, God says, I want you to go to Washington, D.C. I want you to go to Times Square in New York. I want you to go to NBC Studio New York. Demand some time, and they'll give you an interview with whoever, and you tell them whatever the message is. That's going to happen someday. Or maybe it'll be in London. Or maybe it'll be in Rome. Or maybe it'll be in Jerusalem. But it's coming, and it'll be powerful, and it'll be dramatic.